This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Our weekly in-depth look at COVID-19 related topics. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on with us. Dr. Bob, first of all, I wanted to begin with updating folks on the Western states and then Oregon Health Authority decision on booster shot availability. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so the Western states and Oregon has now approved booster shots basically for everybody 18 and above who got original shots, either with Pfizer, Moderna, or with J&J. This is only a mild expansion. People previously who were 18 to 49 could get one if they had underlying conditions or were exposed at work. But this expands that group to basically everyone 18 and above.
Now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention made a recommendation, and then it went kind of from there to the state level. Explain the process and what this Western States group does.
So it's a somewhat long journey. It starts with the FDA and then goes to the CDC and then goes to the Western Mountain states. So the states of Oregon, Washington, and California, a lot of expertise here, have decided that they would review the findings from the FDA and the CDC and make adjustments that they needed to be made for the Western states. So far, they've not made any adjustments, and they basically have approved everything that the CDC has. So that's another step in the process that took about 4 hours this time. So it didn't really slow things down very much. And then the state approves it, and it gets signed, and we're ready to go. So we have plenty of vaccine in the county, lots of vaccinators. So we're encouraging everybody who's not vaccinated to get vaccinated. If you're partially vaccinated, get finished. And if you need a booster, get a booster.
Now, why after 6 months of completing your initial cycle on the Pfizer and Moderna, but only 2 months after the Johnson & Johnson?
Well, the Johnson & Johnson, as you remember, was just a single shot. And it gave the least good protection among the three. Still very good, but least good among the three. So the recommendation was to move the booster up to 2 months after the J&J.
Now, with this availability, do you see the definition of fully vaccinated changing at some point to only those that have received a booster?
It might change at some point, but I don't see that anytime in the near future. Right now, the bulk of the protection comes from getting your initial series. And so that's really got to be our big focus here, is people getting their initial series.
And some people even wondering about if a fourth shot, in some cases, another booster might be called for at some point.
So at some point, there may be another booster. Typically, the story with that would be a booster after a year after your third shot. So we may get there, but I don't think that's anything in the near future.
Now, with the number of people in most cases so far, just having been vaccinated with two doses of Pfizer or Moderna or one with Johnson & Johnson, if there's a push to get people to get these boosters, is there going to be any large clinic or anything like that to accommodate all this?
We are continuing monitoring to see if we're going to need to do that. We know that Aviva is doing this on a regular basis. Cow Creek is doing a big event on the 4th. Right now, we're being told by the places that do vaccines that they're not very far behind, that there was a little surge there when the boosters came out, but that they can easily handle the demand. And so we're listening to the people who are actually giving the vaccines.
What about the number of people vaccinated locally? What's the latest information there?
Well, the latest information there is that we look at people 18 and above who are the ones who are most likely to get hospitalized or die from this disease. About 60% of Douglas County residents are fully vaccinated. And if we look at the entire population, about 50% of the population is fully vaccinated.
And how does that compare with other parts of Western Oregon or even Eastern Oregon?
Well, we're about 10% lower than the country as a whole, about 15% lower than places in the valley, but still greater than some places in Oregon and many places in the South.
Now, are we seeing the pace pick up a bit as there's an interest in the boosters, or is things continue to slow down?
No, we're continuing. The slowest time was in the beginning of July. It has picked up. We're now doing about 2,000 to 3,000 doses a week. So the pace really has picked up quite nicely. But most of those have been boosters. Again, we still have a lot of people in our county who are not vaccinated. And unfortunately, they are 10 times more likely to be hospitalized. So 10 times more likely to be hospitalized if you're not vaccinated, 10 times more likely to die if you're not vaccinated. So please, please, please get vaccinated.
What are you seeing locally in terms of kids being vaccinated?
So the kids rate is increasing. It's still early, right? So in the first couple of weeks, so it's still early. If you look at, for example, age 12 and above, it's about 57% that are fully vaccinated. So we've gotten a good proportion of our people 12 and above vaccinated. The 5 to 11 group is just coming on board now.
And what are you hearing in terms of from folks who, as you mentioned, haven't gotten vaccinated for this at all? Are you seeing any shift on people looking at that again?
I think we are. I think we're seeing as more and more people unfortunately die, there are more and more of us who know 1, 2, 3, or 5 people who've died during this. And I think people who have been worried about the risk benefits of the vaccine, when they see young, otherwise healthy friends die of the disease, they're thinking that maybe time for me to get a dose. There was a story on the front page of the Oregonian yesterday that talked about people who have the disease who may have changed their mind about vaccine.
Let's talk about the local numbers, a new report just out from the past few days. What do we see?
So we're seeing an up and down, and some of this comes from clinics that are getting a bit tired and they're not reporting during the weekends and they're waiting until Monday to do reports. So the numbers are up and down, but we're averaging about 30 cases a day. We were a little above that several times last week and a little bit under that over the weekend, but we're averaging about 30 cases a day, which is still a high number. I mean, that's still a higher number than we had at any time before this July.
And what about when we look at the number of people locally or local people that are hospitalized with COVID-19 right now?
Right. There are 27 in the hospital now. That's a lot. 27 people in the hospital. You don't get hospitalized unless you're quite sick. So 27 people in the hospital is quite high. And again, that number in the hospital is higher than any time before July of this year.
And I see that 20 of those are locally, 7 outside the area. And again, we've got someone being cared for out of state.
Yes. So this is a complicated disease. And so in many cases, people need to seek care out of the area. The ones that are out of state sometimes are people who are get sick while they're out of state and then get cared for there.
And also, talk about the 27 people, what percentage or what number of those are people that are vaccinated versus not?
So only 3 of the 27 are vaccinated, which means that 24 of the 27 are not vaccinated. Since about 60% of our adult population is vaccinated, that means their risk of being hospitalized is 10 times greater for those people who are unvaccinated.
Going to take a break. More when we come back. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 on Inside Douglas County from News Radio 1240 KQEN. Douglas County, 1247 at News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. Eye on Travel at 4. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County, Sergeant Doug Walton of the Roseburg Police Department and Cheryl McDonald of ADAPT will talk about the crisis team, and we'll explain more about their work and their success in the last number of years. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer on with us now, looking at COVID-19-related topics. One of the things here in the new report, we just got this minute or two before we went on the air, kind of going through it during the break, I see a number of new deaths noted, a couple of those more current, and a couple of those are actually four of those delayed.
Yes. So we follow people in the hospital, and if people die in the hospital, we typically know about that. But once people get discharged and they're out of the isolation period, public health is only following them less directly. And so that if people go home and die either in hospice or die at a nursing home, the nursing home or hospice are sometimes slow to report. And thus, some of those deaths are a bit delayed in the reporting. But really is striking. We've had 284 deaths, only 90 of those before August 1st, and 194 deaths since August 1st. This will clearly be our leading cause of death for August, September, and October.
And let's take a look at the state numbers. What are you seeing there?
Well, the state numbers continue to go down. We're at about 20 cases per 100,000 per day, which is less than the national average, which is actually going up at 28 cases per 100,000 per day. Most of the cases in Oregon are in eastern Oregon, especially in Deschutes and Crook counties. West of the Cascades, it's been relatively quiet.
And what about the U.S.? What have we seen for hotspots?
Well, the U.S. is very worrisome. We're clearly entering another surge. The surge that we're seeing now is mostly in northern areas, so it pretty much goes across the top part of our country with Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin, and North Dakota having the most number of cases. This is worrisome. Those places are already starting to get cold, and as they're starting to get cold and people come inside, we're starting to see an increased number of cases. The weather is still pretty nice here, but once the weather starts to get colder and more dreary, we're worried that as more people go inside, we'll have more disease.
And looking around the world, we see cases heating up in Europe, even some lockdowns in some places. Give us an update.
Right. We're seeing really quite the surge in Eastern Europe and Russia. So this started in Eastern Europe about 5 weeks ago, spread to Russia, now spreading westward through Austria and Germany. And Germany, which is reasonably well vaccinated, basically as it spreads through now, it's picking off all the unvaccinated people, plus some vaccinated people getting sick. And so they're seeing a relatively high number of cases. This is worrisome. This Delta variant especially requires a very high level of immunity to prevent spread in the community.
And are we seeing that most of the worldwide cases are still tied to the Delta variant?
Almost all. So except in a few places in South America, almost all of the cases in the world are Delta or one of the subvariants of Delta.
And explain a little bit more about the subvariants.
So what happens is these viruses continue to mutate. Many of the mutations are minor and don't make a big change. And so the subvariants of the Delta that we're seeing, especially the AY42, is very similar to the Delta. It's got a few new mutations, but not really a big change. So Delta is especially worrisome because it is so very contagious, because it has a relatively short incubation period, and because the early symptoms are so hard to distinguish from a typical upper respiratory infection. Unlike the earlier forms of COVID, where fever and cough were early symptoms, with this one is with Delta, many of the people just have a runny nose and a sore throat for the first 3 days, and so they think, "Oh, this can't be very serious," and this they go to work or spread it to others.
Now, with the surge in Europe, we've traditionally been, I can't remember what it is, a certain number of weeks kind of behind where their numbers are, right?
So typically, we've been about 6 weeks behind where the UK is. And what the UK is seeing is a lot of cases. So there are about 60 cases per 100,000 per day. Their cases are, again, mostly in the unvaccinated. In the UK, most of the unvaccinated are younger people, so they're not seeing a particularly high death rate. Almost all of the adults, people 50 and above, are vaccinated. So we're not seeing very many cases among seniors and not as many deaths, but still a lot of cases in the UK.
And what's your concern about some kind of surge here becoming an issue?
Well, we certainly could have a surge. You know, we think we probably have about 50% of our total population that's vaccinated, maybe another 20 or 25% of our population that has had the disease, which means that about 70 or 75% of our population is likely immune. But that still leaves 25% of the population just prime targets for this Delta variant. Now, we think we could bring that vaccine level up easily by 15%, and that would tremendously decrease the number of susceptible people in the county.
So coming up in 3 days, we have Thanksgiving, one of those big holidays where people travel, gather. Families sometimes see each other for maybe one or of only a few times that year. What's your concern with Thanksgiving coming up?
Well, I think Thanksgiving could be done safely if when people travel, they're careful about protecting themselves during travel, if they're vaccinated, if everybody at the party is vaccinated, and people who are sick on the day of the party stay home. I think Thanksgiving could be relatively safe. However, we know that there, with so many unvaccinated people in the county, that if you go to a family gathering, there's likely to be one or two or three who are not vaccinated, and that could be then an opportunity for quite a bit of spread.
So what do people do? I mean, it's this kind of a tough one to talk through sometimes.
Well, I think you need to talk to the people who are going to be at the party. And if they're all vaccinated, then I think the risk is pretty low, and I think you just go ahead. But I think if there are going to be a number of unvaccinated people, you really have to worry about the risk of you gathering for Thanksgiving and coming home with disease.
Now, what are some of the new things being learned about this virus?
Well, one of the really exciting new things is the Pfizer antiviral drug. This Pfizer antiviral drug appears to be quite effective and quite safe. And they're putting a lot of money into ramping up production. Pfizer is allowing other companies to make it, so the production should increase. And that will really change the complexion. If this disease was 90% less serious, that is, instead of having 27 people in the hospital, you had two or three. Instead of having the 190 deaths that we've had in the last 3 months, if we had a few deaths, that would really change the complexion of this entire pandemic. And so we're very excited about the production of these antiviral drugs.
And do you see another one coming out, or is this going to be a predominant one?
Well, there are two. There's a Merck one called Molnupiravir, and then the Pfizer one. They're slightly different in the way they work. Actually, I think the Pfizer one had a little bit better protection and is a much more typical antiviral drug. So I think the Pfizer one is likely to be the predominant one.
What about the Douglas Public Health Network? I haven't asked, I guess, for a while about that. I mean, this is, you know, we're approaching 2 years of this pandemic. How's the staff faring, and what kinds of things are going on?
Well, we have some of the most amazing people that we've recruited, almost all local people who are working at case investigations, contact tracing, and gathering all the data that we do, and then putting together the briefings that we do. We've had over 600 of these briefings that the county has put out. They're working hard. They're working every weekend. And so every weekend, there's somebody on this Thanksgiving. There'll be people working all that day, delivering things to people, gathering cases, and helping people who are positive. This has really been a lot of work. When we look back and look at the amount of hours and overtime hours that people put in, it is an extraordinary effort. And I think everybody in the county should be incredibly grateful for those wonderful people at DPHN.
And is the number of staff, has it gone up, or have you stayed fairly the same for a while?
So we started at 6, moved up to the 30s, and that's where we stay today.
County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on today.
Well, thank you for having me.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
You've been been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.